Hi, you're listening to the Sermon Podcast of Impact Church in Fredericksburg, Virginia. I'm Pastor Brandon, the church planter and lead pastor. We are a new church in the DC area that is centered on the gospel and sent to our neighborhoods, Northern Virginia, and the nations. Please visit our website at www.impactfxbg.church. There, you'll find our current meeting times and locations. Our prayer is that you are encouraged by the message you hear today and fall more in love with Jesus and others. Thanks for listening.
Church, and welcome to our first in-person worship gathering of 2025. I'm glad that you're here. I'm glad that I'm here. We all made it. We're all here. And I am pretty much one of the last things standing between you and those amazing smells of chili that you are taking in right now as everyone now looks longingly towards the crock pots. Seriously, I'm so excited. A couple of things off the top that I just want to celebrate. Rihanna, thank you for celebrating with us our Christmas offering. Man, that is amazing. And so for all of you who gave generously and sacrificially, thank you so much. And we're excited to go ahead and start putting those funds to use. In fact, we got our first email yesterday, and so we are going to cut our first check this week from our Christmas offering to send to a team that is headed to South Asia. Some of you remember meeting Pastor TL, who was here a few weeks ago, and so he is about to hold conferences in places and really invite especially those who are being persecuted in that part of the world right now to encourage them, to train them in the scriptures, and to help them now go back to their villages and start churches. And so the first cut of that Christmas offering is going straight to him, not to him, but to the work that God is doing there. And so I can't wait to get a report back on how that's used. So thank you so much we can praise God for that, absolutely. And I thought it was really cool that it was like literally as we're as I'm looking and going, oh, okay, wow, we met our Christmas offering, ding, I get an email that's like, hey brother, can we have some help? I'm like, yes, you can. Absolutely. We are happy to help. And so it's so good. Also, just want to encourage you guys to stick around, stay after with us today after church. You know, we are going to be eating chili together, but it is a chili cook-off. There's been a little bit of competitive spirit, and so I had to alter my sermon a little bit to address some of those things I saw on social media yesterday. But we're going to have a great time because we are having a chili cook-off to kick off our community groups in 2025. So it'd be really great, unless it snows and they all get canceled, in which case that would not be really fantastic. Hey, if you have a Bible with you this morning, go ahead and grab that and turn with me to the book of John, the book of John chapter 15. John chapter 15 is where we're going to hang out at today. As you turn there, just a couple of housekeeping things. You may have noticed some cards that were in your seats as you came in. We call those our response cards. Jake mentioned those earlier. I know he has been in the back working diligently to fill his card out so far today. And so I want to encourage you guys, everyone that's here today, if you would fill out that blue tear-off part that's on your response card and drop it off at our giving station in the big brown box before you leave today, that'd be awesome. Because we, number one, we want to get a prayer request from you, a way we can pray for you. But number two, we want to also see if there's any next steps that God is calling you to take that we could help you with taking those next steps. All right. So I think that's about all of my housekeeping for today. Let me ask you guys a question. My question is this, and I ask this a lot in the beginning of the new year, just because I like to see where we're at, but where are my people who you say, I do not make New Year's resolutions? Where are my anti-New Year's resolutions people at? Okay. All right. Now, we could do a poll, and there's lots of reasons why people don't make New Year's resolutions. One is because people think they're really dumb, all right? And that's usually the number one answer when I'm like, well, why don't you make resolutions? Because they're dumb. I'm like, oh, I didn't know you're a grown man, not a teenager. Like, you don't have to, you know, like, no, it's not everything's just dumb. Like, why? And I think most of the reason why people don't make resolutions is because they don't want to set themselves up for failure. right? Like, I think that's, if we're being honest, the number one reason isn't just because it's dumb. The reason we don't make New Year's resolutions is because we don't want to set ourselves up for failure. We feel like if I make this resolution to do this, then I already know I'm probably not going to perfectly keep it. And so instead of resolving to do this and then feeling guilty and shameful and bad for not doing it, I'm just not going to do anything. And I would say to you that that's not like an appropriate response of a follower of Jesus. You don't have to call them resolutions, but maybe it's a good thing to have like some goals to shoot for, right? Some things to do. And so whatever you call them, I hope that you will have some. Let me ask you, who's in the house? You're like, actually, Brandon, they're not dumb at all. It's the best thing. Like, I make New Year's resolutions. Where are my New Year's resolutions people at? All right, me and Joe. Thank you. Okay, great. Now that's why I know, because you guys are closest to the front. So you are closest to the holiness of God that is. No, I'm just kidding. I was doing some research, kind of studying, like, what are the top things that people make resolutions on? Because, like, that may be a reason why people don't like to make New Year's resolutions. So here's what I found. The top New Year's resolutions in 2025, the number one was to save more money. It's the number one resolution. Anybody? Anybody save more money? No? No, we don't care. We're making it rain. Like, that's absolutely right. We're not going to save more money. But this is a New Year's resolution, and I understand why people don't make them, because who wants to do that, right? Number one, who wants to do that? And then if you want to do it, you're probably going to be blown out the first time there's another sale. Number two, I love this one. I just want to be happy. Like, why wouldn't we want to make that? But I also think that's kind of sad that we have to make that a resolution. I'm just going to resolve, this is the year I'm going to start smiling. You know, like, it's just kind of a little bit crazy. Number three, I'm going to exercise more. We hear that, right? I'm going back to the gym. I was at the gym this week. It took me extra long to get to a machine. Everybody's doing their thing. And so I'm just going to, wait them out a few weeks. Everybody says, January 20th or something is like the day. Number four, improving physical health. This would go along the lines of just anything, any type of physical health. And then number five, eating healthier, right? Eating healthier. Now, some of you would say, Brandon, I haven't made any New Year's resolutions, but you're trying to do those things. Like, the New Year started, and if you're like me, you're like, the New Year starts on January 2nd. All right, like January 1st, that's a holiday. So you got to blow it out on the holiday, right? You can't like start doing that on the holiday. So it's going to start on January 2nd, but this year, January 2nd was like on a Thursday. And you don't want to start goals on a Thursday. So tomorrow, I'm looking forward to starting my New Year's resolutions, all right? I realize like some of these things you look at, you go, well, those aren't bad things. I just don't know that I'm ready to commit to doing them. Most people, the fact is that we find out and we discover through these statistics is that most people break their resolutions, and it's not even close. And even more people than break their resolutions don't even make resolutions. But listen to the definition of what a resolution is. If you're taking notes, write this down. It's very simple. A resolution is a firm decision to do something. That's a resolution. To make a firm decision to do something. Some would even use the word commitment, although I know that in our culture that would be like a potty word, a bad word to use. But I don't think so. And so think about that in terms of a resolution, to make a firm decision to do something. The fact is, if you're a follower of Jesus, then you have already made a resolution. You have already resolved in your heart to give your life to following Jesus, all right? But here's the difference in maybe the resolutions I showed you on the screen and the resolution to follow Jesus. The difference is the resolutions on the screen depend on you. But the resolution to follow Jesus depends on Him. And so what I want us to talk about today is one thing. Like, if you're not a New Year's resolution person, maybe you would humor me just this year If you are a New Year's resolution person, maybe you would add this one to your list of one thing that I think we should all at Impact Church resolve to do this year. And I believe that if we do this one thing this year, I believe that it has the power to absolutely change our lives and to change the lives of people around us. Now, this is more than, you know, not many people, because you ate more carrots than candy, are you going to change many lives around you. Not too many people, because you went to the gym a few extra days in January, is that going to really change your life or the life of someone else. But if we do this one thing, I believe it has the power to change our lives and the lives of those around us. And here it is. If you're taking notes, write this down. This is our resolution: to abide in 2025. To abide in 2025. And so we're gonna jump into God's word, and that's what we're gonna be talking about today, is this word abide, to abide in 2025. And so if you have your Bibles, get those out, or if you want to use a phone or tablet, feel free to use that as well. And we're going to be in the book of John chapter 15, and I think verse 1 is a great place to start, all right? John chapter 15, verse 1. If you're there, say, I'm there.
I'm there.
Awesome, let's do this. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. All right, now let's stop right there. All right, because this first verse is giving us the context for the lesson that Jesus is about to teach us. Now, the context of this whole passage in John 15 is that Jesus is getting ready to go to the cross. Jesus knows that his days are numbered, and he has his eyes set on Calvary. He has his eyes set on the mission to which he came to accomplish, which is to give his life as a ransom for all. And so Jesus is doing that, but he says, before I do that, there's some teachings I want to make sure that you as my disciples get. Like, I want to make sure that you understand these things. And so as we hear the words of Jesus today, I want you to hear the urgency in his voice. I want you to hear the way that he's talking to his disciples and the way that a father would talk to his children. I want you to hear the way Jesus is talking, the words Jesus is using, and I want you to hear them not as a life help tool. I want you to hear them as the words of your God. Jesus said, I am the vine. Notice Jesus didn't say, I am a vine. He said, I am the vine. If you look at a plant or a tree, there can be lots of vines. There can be lots of different ways and connections at which you get to the source and to the root of it all. But Jesus does not say he is a vine. And church, listen to me. We live in a day where, like, it is popular to believe that there are many vines, that there are many ways to get to God. And so listen, I'm not out to offend anyone. I'm not out, like, to upset anyone. But because I love you, like, I have a desire to tell you that Jesus wants to make it known that you don't get to follow him and anything else that you think will get you to heaven. Like Jesus said, he is the vine, not a vine. This is what else he says. Jesus says, I am the true vine. He's not just a vine, and he's not just the vine. He is the true vine. And I think this word is really important in our culture, because we live in a culture where there are a lot of truths to be had. In fact, I don't know when we turned a corner, and maybe it's always been like this, but in my lifetime especially, I feel like we turned a corner 5 or 10 years ago to where we just started accepting anything anybody believed as a truth, which watered down everything else. And I think one of the things that happened to cause that is the amounts of media that we consume every single day. And a lot of times people have taken the word media to just mean like the news. But media is any type of message that you are consuming. So it can be from your phone. It can be from social media. It can be from from the news, it can be from an app, it can be from a magazine, it can be from books you read, it can be from people that you talk to and friends you have conversations with. Like, we just receive and consume so many messages. And among those messages, man, I feel like we have been infiltrated with a lot of false teachers. I would call them fake vines. Vines that say, come attach to me. They'll even use rhetoric like, unless you believe this, you can't believe this. Or unless you do this, you can't do that. Man, the fact is, we call them in the church false teachers, but now our culture just calls them influencers. And the truth is, it's the same thing. An influencer is a teacher. It's the same thing. Now, they just may be teaching you to buy a certain product that they're getting paid for. They may be teaching you to buy to a certain ideology, or it may be a certain podcast that you're listening to, or a channel you subscribe to on YouTube. But the fact is that there are many false vines out there. And Jesus says that he is the true vine. There are no other true vines to connect to. Now listen, this gets hairy, especially among Christian circles, with other Christians who have attached themselves to other vines who claim to be Christian, but they aren't Christ. So listen, I, your pastor, am not a vine you need to connect to. Like, I'm not worthy for you to come and attach yourself to me and say, whatever Brandon says, that's what I'm going to believe. Whatever Brandon does, that's what I'm going to do. Now, I hope I live a life of that is an example for you. But the truth is, I'm just trying to hitch my wagon to Jesus. Like, I'm just trying to connect my branch to the vine that is Christ. Not to a popular influencer, not to my favorite pastors, not to what a book I read in seminary, not to a podcast I like to listen to. I'm attaching my soul and my life to the true vine that is Jesus. So in this teaching, Jesus is the true vine, God is the gardener, and we are the branches. All right, let's keep reading. John chapter 15, verse 2 says this. Jesus says, every branch, who are the branches? Everybody say, I am. Yeah. Jesus said, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. He is God, the gardener. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word I've spoken to you. Jesus tells us right here that there are two types of branches on the tree. There are those that are growing and producing more fruit, and there are those that are just hanging out around the vine, but they are dead. He says that in this teaching, there are two types of branches. He says that the first branch is actually producing more fruit. Like, it's growing and it's blooming and it's doing exactly what it's supposed to do. Now, Jesus doesn't say that it does that quickly, doesn't say that it does that perfectly, but it is a process of growing. And then there's another branch, and that branch is kind of around the vine, but not attached to the vine. And it's not producing any fruit. And year after year, it may have high hopes of producing fruit, but it doesn't produce anything. And eventually, slowly, it withers and it dies. And Jesus says there are two options. The gardener, God, those that are growing, he prunes, and those that are dying, he gets rid of. Now, where are my green thumbs in the house? I just want to know so that I don't say anything to make myself look dumb. All right. So, honestly, like, for those of you who have the green thumbs, like, you're already, in your mind, making a million connections, right? Like, Jesus meant this, and if you do this, and you've got a million different illustrations of what this could mean. For us, and for today's sake, I don't want to give you a gardening lesson, although there are many, many things in here that could be made and said, but I want to answer a couple of questions. Like this, number one, what does pruning mean? What does pruning mean? Because honestly, at this point, if I'm a disciple, I'm looking at Jesus and he's saying, you're growing and bearing fruit and the gardener's going to prune you. Or you're not bearing fruit and the gardener's going to get rid of you. I'm thinking, are those my only two options? Like, is that all we have here, Jesus? And they are. So I want to know, what is pruning? And if you're taking notes, you write this down. Pruning is necessary for growth. Like, if you're a gardener, if you do any of this, like, you know that pruning is necessary for growth. You've got to get the things out of the way that would stunt the growth of the branch that is connected to the vine. So here's what it means. It's necessary for growth, but it's pruning is cutting off what is old and what is dead. Pruning is cutting off what is old and what is dead, and it is allowing margin and space for the new. Because the truth is, that branch is only going to grow with the space and the margin in which it has to grow. At one point, or at some point, the growth will be stunted. It will only grow as much as it is allowed until weeds come up or thorns come up and choke it out. So you say, Brandon, why pruning? So here's what God does. God sees those who are attached to Jesus. He sees those who have a relationship with Jesus. And he loves you so much that he wants you to keep growing, that he is in his love and compassion and care for you, and the same way a gardener wants to see fruit grow from their garden and is willing to make the sacrifices, our gardener is willing to come and to chop off all the things in our lives that are dead, that don't give him glory, the things in our life that are taking up space and time and emotion, that are not giving him glory. He loves us enough to get rid of those things so that we can have the margin and the space and the room and the desire to bear much fruit in him. You can also write this down. Pruning is hard. Pruning is hard because something's got to go. Oh, but I really liked that leaf. God, don't get rid of that leaf. I like that leaf. God says the leaf has to go. Because look, there's some fruit growing right behind here, and this leaf is keeping you from that fruit. Has anybody ever had a leaf that has maybe tried to impair some fruit growing in your life? Maybe a relationship that you're in, that you know you shouldn't be in, the longer that you're in that relationship, the more it is taking you further away from Christ than it is spurring you towards Christ. And God loves us enough to lovingly try to take that away and prune it out of our life. Maybe it's a job that we have clung to because it represents our identity. It represents what we always said we would do. It represents our livelihood and our money. And God says, actually, I'm trying to prune it, trying to take it away because there's some fruit back here that I've got planned for you. And if you keep this, that fruit's going to die. And I want that fruit to grow and flourish and produce other fruit. So this leaf has to go. Maybe it's a relationship. Maybe it's a job. Maybe it's just our love of money. Maybe it's a sin. Maybe it's an addiction. Maybe it's a sin of something that we've held on to for so long. And God has lovingly tried to take it away from us. And even when he does, we go find the pruning pile and try to glue it back on to keep it on. Church, listen, whatever God is getting rid of, subtraction always hurts. Subtraction always hurts. But he's setting you up for multiplication. See, by getting rid of what is dead and old, he is allowing you to produce fruit that's going to grow seeds, that's going to produce more fruit, that's going to produce other plants and other trees all around you, all because he got rid of this one little leaf. See, for some of us, you're new to Christ. Like you've only been following Jesus for 6 months or for a year or 2 years or 3 years. Listen, it is a process of Jesus getting rid of our old life. And so sometimes the pruning is things that were cool for us to do when we weren't following Jesus, but now that we are following Jesus, those things have to leave. And it's hard. It's relationships that don't understand why we would follow Jesus. It's our schedules that were fine, but now I'm trying to go to church and I'm trying to go to a community group and I'm trying to make disciples and I'm trying to go on go trips and I'm trying to impact the world with the gospel, and now all of a sudden this job doesn't allow me to do that. This dream that I had doesn't allow me to do that. These hopes I built for myself, they were all without Christ. So we have to allow God the gardener to come in and prune the old away. Because when you come to Christ, the old passes away. You know what that's a euphemism for? Death. It dies. So I want to ask you, which branch are you today? Are you a branch that is attached to the vine, but is maybe being pruned a little bit, or God wants to prune it? Or are you just a branch that hangs around Jesus, but you're not connected to the source, so you're dying? See, Jesus wants you to be confident. So he says this. He says, you are already clean because of the word I've spoken to you. And the reason he says that is because he doesn't want you to walk out of here going, I don't know, am I saved? Has Jesus changed me? Has he not? He says, no, listen, you may think because you're getting pruned that Jesus isn't with you. But let me tell you something, when you're being pruned, God could not be any more intimate with you. Like the pruning is an intimate process. It's not a punishment. It is intimacy with God. Never is a gardener more intimate with his branches than when he is down inspecting every single one of them and lovingly getting rid of those that are dying and not bearing fruit. Let's keep reading. John 15, pick up in verse 4. Jesus, so he gives this teaching, and now Jesus is going to give us a command. So you say, okay, Jesus, I think I might be this branch. I understand, now what? Jesus says these words. Everybody say this first word with me. Abide. Say it. Yeah. Jesus says, abide in me. Oh, don't miss this part. If you take notes or you underline in your Bible, underline this part. And I in you. That is awesome. Not that we have to abide in Christ, but that Christ abides in us. All right, as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do what? Something? Nothing. Jesus is saying that if you're going to be a true Christian and not just a cultural Christian or not just a consumeristic Christian or not just an American Christian, Jesus is saying that a true Christian is connected to him at all times. So this word abide can be a tricky word because it's beautiful, isn't it? Isn't that a beautiful word? To abide. Some of you are like, yeah, that's my, like, been needing a tattoo idea, and that's like, I think what I'm going for. And I'd love to see that on your forehead next week, next Sunday. I would. But let me tell you what that word really means. What that word really means is to remain. To stay. See, the truth is, you didn't do anything to connect yourself to Jesus. And you can't do anything to pull yourself out of Jesus. So your job in this whole process is to just stay right with him. See, you have a world around you, people, time, jobs, things, influencers that are constantly trying to pull you away from the vine. Come, attach to this vine. Come, do this vine over here. Hey, you don't even need a vine. You're your own person. Like, just come grow over here. Grow where you're planted. Like, do all of these things, right? And what Jesus says is, Jesus says, no, your job is to stay. But how many of you know that's hard? Like, I don't want to, the fact is, it is very simple. But the same fact is, it is very difficult. Did you know things can be very simple and very difficult? Your job is not to go, okay, Brandon, how do I abide? I'm going to do these 47 things this year to abide in Christ. And Jesus would say, no, I need you to do one thing. Stay where I put you. This is where I am. Stay with me. This is why before we make major life decisions like moving or changing jobs or who we're going to marry or who we're going to date or putting on, you know, buying big purchases, cars, houses, things like this. Like before we make those huge, massive decisions, we ask ourselves this one question. Where is God at work? Where is God at work? Not where do I want to be. Not what even would be best for my family. The question is, where do I see God at work? Because I'm going to go join him there. And sometimes God is at work in far off places that he has revealed to you. Places like Greece or Ethiopia or the UK. And to be with God means you pack up and you go. Because, guys, to abide in Jesus doesn't mean that you do what you want and invite him into it. To abide in Jesus means you look and see where he is at work and you stay with him. You stay there until he goes and works somewhere else and invites you to come join him there to work. And some of you may say, well, Brandon, that you might be over-spiritualizing it a little bit. And in love and compassion in my heart, I would invite you to consider, are you under-spiritualizing it? Because in my opinion, this is what that word means. We just want to stay with Jesus. So if staying with Jesus means taking a new job, we take a new job. If staying with Jesus means to get married, then we get married. If staying with Jesus means to stay single, we stay single. If staying with Jesus means to go to a certain college, then we go to that college. If it means not to go to college, we don't go to college. Like we make decisions based on what does it look like to stay close to Jesus. But what's great about this is Jesus makes a promise that if we will abide in him and stay with him, he's going to stay in us. Like, I want you to think about the amazingness of that for a second. That Jesus Christ stays in you. Not a vibe, not a mood, real, resurrected person of Jesus. Fully sovereign, authoritative, and alive over all the earth in your body. This is what he means when he says, if you abide in me, I'll be in you, and you'll bear fruit. So the next question we ask is, what does it mean to bear fruit? If that's what it means to be pruned, then what does it mean to bear fruit? Well, I would give you a few things. If you're taking notes, you can write these down. Number one, to bear fruit means there is evidence of the gospel in your life. The good news of Jesus, that Jesus came to our world, lived the perfect life we couldn't, gave that perfect life as a sacrifice to God when he died on the cross, stayed dead for 3 days, but 3 days later rose from the dead, just as was foretold about him, appeared to hundreds of people teaching about the kingdom of God, ascended back to heaven and promised that one day he is coming back to make all things new. Does our life show evidence of that reality? Have you made any decisions based upon the resurrection of Jesus Christ lately? Like, when's the last time you made a decision and said, I think we should do this because Jesus is alive? That is evidence of a life that bears fruit. Because if we never do that, then Jesus might as well not even be alive. Because he's made no difference in our lives. But if Jesus is alive, and brother and sister, he is, then Jesus being alive changes everything about our lives. Number two, to bear fruit means to live a life pleasing to God. If I did a straw poll, I wouldn't get too far on the whole resolutions thing, but if I did a straw poll and asked who here wants to please God, I think we'd get about 100%. Especially with a snowstorm coming. I want to make sure my prayers are up to date. You know what I'm saying? To bear fruit means you're living a life that is pleasing to God. If you're a gardener, and you go outside and you've been working on something all season, and you walk out and there's still no fruit, you are not a happy camper. But you walk out and you see the first sign of that fruit or that vegetable growing. And we are posting it all over social media for the world to see. Doesn't even matter if it doesn't make it. Got the first sign of fruit. It's pleasing to God. Number three, to bear fruit means your life looks more and more like Jesus. This is a church word, a process we use called sanctification, but really, what that means is that every day you are looking more and more like Jesus. That fruit takes time. Do you hear me? Fruit takes time. You don't microwave fruit, okay? It takes time to grow. So if you've been following Jesus for a while and you're like, I don't understand why this keeps happening. I don't want to do this sin, but I keep doing it. I don't understand why God just doesn't deliver me from it. Church, let me tell you something. The fact that you want to defeat that sin is fruit in your life. Because there are a lot of people who claim to be Christians who are sinning and they don't even care. And that is not fruit. So I would tell you, let the fruit grow in God's time. You just stay with Jesus. And number four, to bear fruit means there is a multiplication of life change. Gosh, I love this word. Multiplication. You know why I like this word so much? Because it's greater than addition. And I'm a little bit of a go big or go home kind of guy. So I'm like, what is the fastest and best way to reach a really large number? And the fact is, multiplication will get you there faster than addition. Now, I don't know if that's really true, but Katie, you'll let me know. Is that true? Okay, thank you very much. Okay, we'll talk about it later. Okay, thank you. Now, Katie's about to change every value of our church that we have right now. The word multiplication just means that it's able to spread wide and quickly. But here's the deal. See, that's what fruit does, is as it grows fruit that in turn has seed in it. And when that seed falls to the ground, it is planted, and it then grows another tree that grows branches that bear fruit. And then it does it. And then this tree does it again. And then that, and before you know, you have a full forest of fruit bearing. See, guys, this is what I'm talking about, that if you will remain in Jesus, it's not going to just affect your life. It's going to affect the lives of the people around you. Bearing fruit means you are seeing lives changed around you. That you are using your skills, your gifts, your talents, your treasures to glorify God because you're remaining in Him. And you are using all of that because you give, because you serve, because you use your talents, because you have the job you have, because you have the family that you have, because you have the income that you have, more lives are being changed for the sake of the gospel. That's what bearing fruit means. That you got fruit trees in Fredericksburg and Northern Virginia and all around the world that you don't even know about because you stayed in Jesus. And then Jesus gives us this warning. And the warning is this: apart from me, you can do nothing. Church, I think this ought to scare us. Now, I'm not trying to fear monger. I'm not trying to, you know, pull on anyone's emotions. I just think it ought to scare us. But it ought to scare us especially as Americans. See, I go to other parts of the world and I teach this scripture, and you know what their response is? Duh. Duh. I come to America and I teach this, and the response is usually, yes, of course. But the way we live is very different. The way we live doesn't show most of the time that we need Jesus to do anything. Because we got it. Sorry, Jesus, you can't really do what I do at work, so that's on me. Sorry, Jesus, there's some things in my marriage that I'm going to need to work on. That's on me. See, we have this individualism that we value in America, that we might agree with it because it's in the Bible, but we don't agree with it in practice. Are you kidding me? There's a lot of stuff I can do without Jesus. I can go on a mission trip without Jesus. And you know what's terrifying? You can. It's called a vacation. It's just you get other people to pay for it. See, you can go on mission trips without Jesus. You can give to charity without Jesus. You can tithe without Jesus. You can help start a new church without Jesus. You can serve on the tech team without Jesus. No offense. You can go to seminary without Jesus. You can fight for pro-life causes without Jesus. You can serve at food banks or even join a campus ministry without Jesus. You can start podcasts and lead community groups and be street preachers, all without Jesus. See, we have made church in our country such a production that if Jesus never showed up, we might not know. We're so concerned with making sure everybody else shows up that we forget to ask Him to show up. We get so overwhelmed with everything we have to do. This tech has to be just right. This song has to be just right. This sermon has to be just as entertaining. And everything. And if you want to grow a church, everything has to be just right. And the fact is, we can do all of that without Him. The fact is, there's literally a website called churchinabox.com. Now, I'm not here to bash them because they gave me a great deal on some of the stuff that we have. And so I really appreciate them. But what I'm telling you is we've boiled down the holy gathering of people worshiping a holy God and to just pull it out of a box and set it up. And now we'll have church. See, if you don't have a relationship with Christ and closeness with Him, you aren't accomplishing anything with your life. Like your wheels are turning and you're in the hamster wheel and then you're going to die and then you're going to be forgotten. And there's going to be no fruit that came from your life. But that doesn't have to be that way. See, the fact is, we as Americans have bought a lie that we measure our success by our social media metrics. We measure our success by our paycheck raises or our promotions at work or whether or not we can get that 4.0 GPA. But as followers of Jesus, we measure our success by how connected we are to Christ. I mean, I want you to imagine for a second, you know, like this tree here. And I want you to imagine like there's a branch just hanging out. And every time we try to do something without Christ, it's like if we're the branch, we just walk over here. And so I'm just going to go do my own thing. Here I am. You see how, like imagine if a branch did that. If this, like you would be like, what are you doing? Like you're literally going to die. Like if you disconnect from this, you're literally going to die. But guys, that's what we do as Christians all the time. Like Jesus is our source. He's our vine. We have to stay connected to Him to live, to spiritually live. And every time we try to do things without Him, it is the same silliness as a branch just walking away from the tree and saying, actually, I think I'm going to start my own tree. You go, great, good luck with that, dude, because you're going to die. And guys, anytime we walk away from Jesus, that's the seriousness of it. This branch isn't accomplishing anything. It is accomplishing nothing. And people try to do this all the time with their faith. Well, Brandon, my faith is personal. Yes, it is. Jesus died for you. If you were the only person on the face of this planet, I believe Jesus would have still died just for you. It's very personal, but it ain't private. It's not private. So we don't get to leave the vine and come over here and be private by ourselves. See, you were made to live in community. You were made to live in community with other branches. And so when we say, actually, I don't like this tree anymore, that tree over there looks bigger, looks more exciting, and I've made some friends. So I'm going to leave that, and I'm going to go over here. Guys, we got to be in community. When we say, man, I just would do better by myself, people get on my nerves. Yeah, imagine how God feels. Just saying. Guys, it's very silly, but it's very true. Let's finish up and read this verse 6. Jesus finishes this teaching by saying this. And he doesn't finish. I'm going to finish this passage next week, but this is what he says for today. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. The branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. See, guys, Jesus ends this section by telling us the consequences of not abiding in him, and the consequences are serious, yes? This isn't a lack of love on God's part. This is just the sad reality of what happens when our souls don't abide in Jesus. Our souls are slowly dying without the source of life. Jesus is our source of life. Why is Jesus our source of life? Because he is the only one who can give us a relationship with God. Nothing else can give us that. Only Jesus. So he is our source of life. The longer we go on putting on a front, acting like we have it all figured out, acting like we know God, but we know if someone asked us, what did you read in the Bible this week? We would not have an answer for them. The more your soul is withering. In the same way growth doesn't happen overnight, the death of your soul doesn't happen overnight either. In fact, the word Jesus uses is withers. And that is a slow process. So a lot of people say things like, well, I'm feeling burned out. You're actually not feeling burned out. Your soul is withering. And I know we like to have nicer words for it, but the fact is, the longer you stay unattached from the vine, the more your soul is going to wither. And sometimes your soul has withered so much that you don't even know it, and you need trusted people who follow Jesus to put their arms around you and say, let's go back to the vine. Here, let me pick you up and take you. Guys, that's what community is. Because playing a church game doesn't give you intimacy with God. Your intimacy with God comes along with, as you have intimacy with God, then you play a vibrant part in God's church. I'm going to ask the worship team to come up, but I want to give you a few things. If you're taking notes, I still want you to write this down. Because I want to give you a few things you can do this year. Because you're like, okay, Brandon, great. How, but how? Like, how am I going to abide in 2025? I would say a couple of things. Number one, keep joining us on Sunday mornings because we're going to keep unpacking very practically over the next couple of weeks what it looks like to live a life that abides in Jesus. So we're going to pick back up next week and talk about four things that Jesus tells us to do to abide in him. But let me give you some practical things today. Now, you see a few things on the screen there, but there's one really important thing that I didn't put up there that has to be our starting point. So if you're taking notes, I want you to write this word down. Repent. Repent. When I was on sabbatical, I was meeting with someone, a friend and confidant, and it just came out like my intimacy with God was good, but I had found so much of my identity in what I did for God instead of just that what God had done for me. And so even my intimate times with God, if you were to ask me, Brandon, are you reading your Bible? I would have said yes. Are you praying? I would have said yes. Are you fasting? I would have said yes. But when it came down to it, Brandon, do you love God? You love him with everything you have? There are some days, I would have said yes, but there were some days that I would have said, actually, I think I may love what I do for God more than I'm loving him today. And I looked at my friend and I said, so what do I do? How do I make that shift? And I thought he was going to give me a few practical ways of things I could do. He was going to tell me to just change it. He was going to give me some scripture to read or a book we could read together. And he looked at me and this is what he said. And you ready? He said, well, the first thing you need to do is repent of that. See, the word repentance means to return. It's not a bad word. People think repent, oh, then people are going to know I did something wrong. Hey, your secret's out. I know every single one of you are sinners already. And that's why I'm taking the lead to confess mine to you. And church, that word blew me away, but here's what it did first. It offended me. It offended me. And here's what I realized over the course of these 3 years as a church, there have been only a handful of times I've ever called us to repentance. And if I have, it's very subtle. And that's because I wasn't calling myself to repentance. But repentance is beautiful. Repentance means that because of the love of God that he has for us shown through Jesus, we can be all the way over here as this branch that lost its way. And yet Jesus will still have us. And what we do is we turn away from what was calling us this way. We turn away from it. And see, most people stop here. You know what the problem is if you stop here? So much easier just to turn right back around on Monday. Repentance requires that we turn our back on our sin and we start taking glorifying steps towards Jesus. And the good news of the gospel is that he takes us back. Restores our soul, connects us back to the vine. Us in him, and he in us. And so today, before we go any further, and maybe you guys could have wrote those things down. I don't want to talk about them today. I just want to invite us to repent. That if your intimacy with God has taken a back shelf, or you say, Randy, actually, I've made decisions in the past that weren't out of intimacy with God. It's okay. You didn't screw anything up. God's bigger than our mistakes. We can repent and move on in newness of life with Christ.
Hi, Pastor Brandon here. Thanks again for listening to our Impact Church Sermon Podcast. If God has spoken to you today or you have a prayer request you'd like to share, please email us at hello@impactfxbg.church. If you're local to the Fredericksburg area, we would love to see you for worship in person. But if not, please let us know if we can help you find a gospel-centered church right where you're at. Feel free to connect with us on Facebook or Instagram and on our website, www.impactfxbg.church. Until next time, keep living the dream.